in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Warring with prophecy. Listen. The prophetic word or prophecies are very authentic. Divine prophecies are very authentic. However, their fulfillment in your life in this earth realm is never automatic. You have a serious participatory role to play in partnership with the Holy Ghost, in partnership with God, in order to birth those prophecies, in order to materialize them, to see them fulfilled in this earth realm. Am I communicating? In the realm of the spirit, prophecies are already realities. They have already happened. It's a reality in the realm of the spirit. But to see them come to pass on this side of eternity, in this earth realm, it requires human partnership. Are you listening? It requires human partnership. So, you don't receive prophetic words and go to sleep. You war with them unto fulfillment. You don't wish them. You war with them. You don't say that, oh, I wish that beautiful prophecy will come to pass in my life. No. You don't wish for them to happen. You war with them to make them happen. You don't sit down in idleness, wishing and waiting while doing nothing for them to happen. You war with them unto fulfillment. Are you listening? Including those beautiful dreams that God, the Holy Spirit, is showing you your future in your dreams. He's showing you your beautiful future. Now, those things are very authentic. They are already realities in the realm of the spirit. But you have a serious part to play to materialize them. If you want to see them happen as ordained by God in this earth realm, you must partner with God in prayer. You must partner with God in faith. Are you getting me? Very important. All those visions, all those revelations God is showing you concerning his plans and purposes for your life. Are you getting me? Concerning whatever he wants you to do, where he's taking you to. They are not lies. No. They are very authentic. They are true. But you must find out your part and play your part. You war with those things. Are you getting me? Are you getting me? 1 Timothy 1:18. He says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. He said, according to the words of prophecies which have gone ahead of thee. He said, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Are you listening? So, watch this. You use prophetic words as weapons of war. You use them as instrument of warfare. Are you getting me? So, prophecies are weapons of war. They are part of our weapons of war. He says that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Prophecies, they are a spiritual system of advantage in fighting the good fight of faith, in engaging in spiritual warfare, in fighting the battles of life. We use them as a spiritual system of advantage. They give us the edge. They give us the upper hand. Why is it that Balak, king of what? Moab, had to hire Balaam to come and curse the children of Israel? He said, "Paraventure, I will be able to defeat them." You need to understand something there. Why is he hiring Balaam to come and curse them with words, to release words opposite of the blessing, curses upon them? He said, "Paraventure, I will fight them and defeat them." Why won't he just go and fight them like that? Because he knows that those words, those spells, those curses will give him the spiritual system of advantage. Are you seeing this? He knows that it's those words that Balaam will speak, those curses and spell, is going to give him the spiritual advantage over Israel whenever they fight, compared to if it's on a neutral ground. He knows that he does not stand any ground against the children of Israel. So just like those curses will have given Balak, the king of Moab, advantage over Israel and help him prevail over them, that is how divine prophecies, they give you spiritual advantage in fighting the conflict of life, in engaging in spiritual warfare. They empower you to succeed. Are you getting me? He said that thou by them. He said, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. He said that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Life is a warfare. You need to use prophetic words as a military weapon. Are you getting me? As a weapon of war that will give you the advantage to fight successfully. Kele brando kosofra kapataya. Melekete kebrekete. Stop tolerating the activity of the enemy around your life. Anything you tolerate will remain. Your spirit must react. See, I wrote something here. I say your aggressive reaction in faith and prayers against satanic affliction and oppression is what guarantees your freedom and liberty. Your aggressive reaction in faith and prayers against all satanic affliction and oppression is the guarantee for your freedom and liberty. It takes a fight for things to change. Palakata kabrakata. Stop pampering them. Stop tolerating them. Crush them. Prophecies are not self-fulfilling on their own. It takes human partnership for those divine prophecies to find expression in the earth realm. Look up. If you study the Bible, you will realize there are two types of prophecies broadly. We have conditional prophecies and unconditional prophecies. Now, if you study the Bible, you realize majority of the prophecies of scriptures, they are conditional. That means there is a woman participatory role that must be played for them to find expression in the earth realm. The unconditional prophecies are very few. And even the unconditional prophecies can be affected if humans don't play their role too. It can be delayed. Are you getting me? So that shows you that human partnership and participation is very important. Anytime prophecies are released, listen, the whole thing is not entirely up to God. No. You must take responsibility for playing your own role to see it happen in your life, to make it your experience. in this earth realm, or else that prophetic word can be delayed in terms of fulfillment in your life, or it can even be denied. And it does not mean God lied. Like I said, the prophetic word is very authentic, but the fulfillment on earth is not automatic. It requires human partnership and participation in faith and prayers. Are you getting me? That's very, very important. You need to have an understanding of that. He says, blessed is she that believes, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. If she had not believed, there won't be performance. Do you know, if Mary had not partnered in faith, there is no way baby Jesus would have been formed in her womb. No, if she had operated in unbelief or in doubt, there is no way there will be a performance. Jesus will not have been conceived in her womb. Children have given birth to the Messiah. So as authentic as the prophecy is from the mouth of the Lord, that even angel Gabriel was the one that came and told her, if she had not partnered in faith, there will be no performance. Are you getting me? So the performance of the prophetic word in your life is highly conditional. You must learn to partner with God. You war with prophecies. Are you getting me? You don't sit down and watch prophecies. You war with them unto fulfillment. You don't wish for their fulfillment. You war with them to see them come to pass in the earth realm. Divine prophecies require human partnership and participation to bet them in this side of eternity. It is your responsibility to war with them in prayers to materialize them. For instance, prophetic word came to us that this year is our year of supernatural harvest. What has been your response? Have you been warring with them in prayer? Have you been playing your part to see that word come to pass? Or have you just been sitting, wishing and waiting? Am I communicating and doing nothing? If you don't want that prophetic word to slip from your hand, you have to find out your path. You war with it in prayer. This is our month of great grace. This is why we start every month with three days prayer and fasting. It's a system of activating that prophetic word into manifestation. Because we know that we have to play our part. Our month of great grace. If you have not been enjoying, me have been enjoying great grace. If you have not been enjoying great grace, it's your fault. You have to war with those words. You have to war with them. You have to play your participatory role. Am I communicating? So that it will not look as if God did kalu kalu for you. He did kalu kalu with the prophetic. You have a critical participatory role to play in partnership and collaboration with God to fulfill prophecies spoken over your life in this earth realm. Listen to this. The release or declaration of the prophetic word provokes spiritual warfare. The moment prophecies are spoken or uttered, it is an invitation to spiritual warfare. It leads to a fight. It leads to a contention, a conflict, a battle. It provokes a warfare. The declaration or announcement or proclamation or release, utterance of the prophetic word is an invitation to warfare. Because the moment the prophet, Satan doesn't know everything. No. The devil is not omniscient. It's only God that is omniscient. God knows everything. Satan is not omniscient. So there are many things the devil does not know about your life. The devil does not know your future in details. You know the way some of us have been taught, or we assume Satan knows everything. It's a lie. The devil doesn't know. In fact, there are many things Satan does not know. Very ignorant of. The only time he gets to know is when it is spoken. So the moment the prophetic word is spoken over your life, that is when a lot demons get to know, Satan gets to know. So you see, it's an invitation to warfare. Why? Because now that they know, they will start fighting it. They will start doing everything to frustrate that word, to ensure it does not come to pass. They will start fighting so that God's will, God's plan, God's purposes concerning your life will not come to pass. They were ignorant until it was spoken. Are you listening? Now, the problem with many Christians is that they receive that prophecy, they heard it, and then they will now go and sleep. Meanwhile, demons heard it, and then they will be working over time to see that it doesn't happen. The angels are there. The Holy Ghost is waiting to partner with you, to help you fulfill that word, to make it come to pass. But the believer, out of spiritual laziness and laxity and spiritual irresponsibility, decided not to play his part. And then at the end, the word does not come to pass. And then it will now look as if God lied. No, God did not lie. You didn't play your part. You were not wise. Am I communicating? So, the moment prophecies are released, just know that you should get ready for war. Because it's an invitation to warfare. You should be ready to fight. This is not to scare you. It's to give you an understanding. Are you getting me? Give me Genesis 3:15. Let me show you something interesting there. Shakabakata. After the fall of man, the serpent deceived and beguiled Eve. Eve ate the fruit and gave to her husband. Adam ate too. And then God showed up. He said, "Adam, where are you?" He says, "We heard your voice and we ran away. We hid ourselves that because we are naked." God said, "Who told you you were naked?" He said, "Have you eaten the fruit I say you should not eat, the forbidden fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" He said, "The wife you gave to me, not the one that he was wowed with." He said, "The one, you know, human beings like to play the blame game. You know the blame game? They don't like accepting fault. They want to blame." It started right from Genesis. Adam started blaming God. Can you imagine? Say, "The wife you gave," he didn't take responsibility. He said, "The wife you gave to me." In other words, if you are not giving me this wife, I wouldn't have it. So in other words, God, you are at fault. You are the one that made me to fall. The wife you gave to me. But when the wife was cooking sweet food, he was eating. He didn't complain. Praise God. And then God came to the woman. Say, "You, why did you?" The woman said, the serpent beguiled me. The God came to serpent. He didn't bother asking serpent because his own judgment has been sealed. The devil. He said, God released a curse on the serpent, okay? Then if you read down, God did not curse man, oh. If you study that scripture, the only person that was cursed was the serpent. Mm-hmm. God only announced to man the consequences of his choice. God never cursed him, because before then, God has already blessed them. Remember, when God created them, he blessed them and he said, "Be fruitful." So God cannot curse he who he has blessed. Why couldn't Balaam curse the children of Israel? Because they were already blessed. Three times he tried to curse them, the thing turned to a blessing. Are you getting me? Then God told the serpent, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed," interesting, "between thy seed and her seed." Now, the seed of the woman. You see two things there. Number two, the seed of the serpent. He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman." You see why Satan hates women? Satan hates women the most. You see, if you watch throughout history, women have been the worst recipient of oppression. You know, there are some cultures that they don't even value women. Are you aware? There are even some religions that women cannot worship their God with men in the same worship house. Am I lying? The Ishmaelite, can the men and the women worship together like this? That's to tell you the hatred that Satan has for women. If you study even the Jewish culture, most time when they are counting the children of a family, they only count the men. See, thank God for Christianity. Oh. Thank God for Christianity. Christianity is what has restored the dignity and right of women. Most other religion, even tradition, so many tradition. There are some tradition I heard that somebody can use his wife to entertain his friend when the friend visits, as if the wife is an entertainer, as if the wife is Coke and Fanta and malt. I'm telling you, that's the friend is free to sleep with the wife, do anything he want. They do it as in a form of hospitality. That's to tell you how women have suffered. There are people that use women like tissue paper. They see women like instruments. They don't even see them like human beings. There are people, you see, the way the world is, Satan have twisted some people's mind and thinking so that they see women like sex objects. As in, like object that is to satisfy people's sexual urge. Anytime they get congy, they'll just use. That's all. They don't see any worth. They don't see any dick. They don't even see them like human beings. That ideology is sponsored by Satan. It's because of his hatred for women. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now watch this. Throughout the Bible, this human being, a child, is often called the seed of a man. Why is it called the seed of a man? Because is the sperm is a life-carrying faculty. Okay? Scientists believe the life comes from the father of a child. The body comes from the mother. The sperm is like the seed-carrying faculty. That's why they call a woman being a child the seed of a man. Are you getting the point? But God did not say, I will put enmity between thee, between thy seed and his seed. It's not the seed of a man here. God used a very strange expression, the seed of a woman. Wonderful. The thing confused Satan. Because he knows that every child born into the world is called the seed of a man. Because the sperm comes from the man. So which one be seed of a woman again? Can you see the drama there? Because that seed of the woman is Jesus the Messiah. Now watch this. Jesus was not called the seed of a man. It's called the seed of the woman. I will tell you why. This is talking about Jesus. God was the first to prophesy the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. God was the first. This was Genesis 3:15. This was when God prophesied the coming of Christ to redeem humanity. Remember, this was after the fall of man. Satan thought that he has destroyed or distorted God's redemption, God's plan for man. He thought that he had scattered God's plan. He didn't know that God is always miles ahead of the devil. God activated the redemption plan. This was the first time God announced to the devil that Jesus is coming. Why is Jesus called the seed of the woman? It's because Jesus was not a product of human sperm. Did you hear that? Was this Joseph's sperm that impregnated Mary before Jesus was born? All of Jesus's brothers, Judas, who again? James, and all his sisters, they are all the byproduct of Joseph's sperm, but only Jesus came as a result of the word of God. Remember, the word of God equals the seed of God. The word of God, in the parable of the sower, he said the seed is the word. So that word of God that angel Gabriel that was sent with the good news from heaven, he spoke those words into Mary's womb. And the moment she mixed it with faith, by the power of the Holy Ghost, that word became flesh. So the life of Jesus came from the word. You see that? It was the word made flesh. He is not the seed of a man. He didn't come from woman's sperm. So that's why Jesus is called the seed of the woman. Are you getting the point? So, what is the seed of the serpent? Of course, it's talking about the kingdom of darkness. It's talking of the host of darkness. Are you getting me? Satan too has children, right? Satan too has children. Talk to me. They are under his kingdom and he has his demonic host. That's why today, Jesus, who is the head of the church, you know, the church is the body of Christ. Okay? Christ and his body have become, they have become the bitterest object of persecution by Satan and his kingdom throughout all ages, even till today. You hear of all these Boko Haram, all these terrorist group, you will notice their number one target has been the church, the body of Christ. Am I communicating? That spirit of the Antichrist, always wanting to frustrate and terminate God's plan and purpose, and to frustrate the church. But guess what? Every single time they have always failed. I say every single time they have always failed. Nobody can destroy the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Satan can fight, but he's not permitted to prevail. We will always prevail. I say we will always prevail. It doesn't matter how many church they burn. Everyone they burn will build a bigger one. We'll replace it with a bigger one. The more the church is persecuted, the more the church will spread. Yes. So, this was a prophecy of the coming Messiah. But I want you to see something. That though this prophecy was authentic and it came from God, it did not come to pass automatically. It still needed the partnership of prayer by two intercessors in Luke chapter 2. We'll soon look at it. Simeon and Anna. Am I communicating? They were in the temple. These were intercessors. They have read prophecies. They have read all the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the coming of Christ, concerning the birth of the Messiah. But to ensure that it is not delayed, they kept praying. Are you getting me? They kept interceding until that prophecy was fulfilled. So the birth and the coming of Christ was on the wheels of the intercession of Simeon and Anna. The prophecy was authentic. Do you know it is possible that it could have been delayed? It is possible that up till now we'll have been waiting for Jesus to come, as in first coming, not second coming, if they had not prayed. A lot of delays in the fulfillment of prophecy is traceable to prayerlessness. Are you getting me? It's possible for, when you design the times and seasons, the season for something to happen can come and even pass without it happening. Not because God willed it so, but because people did not partner in prayer to bet it. If you read throughout the Bible, apart from God, various prophets prophesied about the coming of Christ, about the birth of Christ. Isaiah prophesied it. Unto us a child is born, unto us a prophet is given. So many prophecies. You read Moses. Moses also prophesied the coming of Christ. If you study the books of the Bible, David prophesied the coming of Christ. But to ensure that it happens without delay, it required the intercession of what? Two people. What are their names? Simeon and Anna. Kate Kobora Kataya. Give me Luke 2:25. So you can see that the prophecy concerning the birth and coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, which was first prophesied by God in Genesis 3:15, required the intercession, the partnership of intercessory prayer by Simeon and Anna to birth that prophecy to fulfillment. Though several other prophets in the Bible also prophesied about the birth and the coming of Jesus, those prophetic words required the intercessory ministry of Simeon and Anna in partnership with God to birth them to manifestation. Look at it. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Next verse. He said, and he came by the Spirit, he was led into the temple. This was what, when they brought Jesus for dedication in the temple, because he was the firstborn. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Because according to the law, all firstborn are to be dedicated and consecrated to God. Next verse. Then took he him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, he said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Next verse. He said, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. Can you shout amen? You see, the good part is that God will ensure that when you pray for the fulfillment of some prophecies, God will ensure that you see it manifest in your time. The revival you pray for, God will ensure that it happens in your time. God will ensure that you see it with your eyes. Simeon had been praying and interceding for the birth of Jesus, and now Jesus is born. God ensured that he saw the result of his prayer. So you hear him say, now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace. That is, I'm ready to go. You see that? Next verse. Which thou hast prepared before the face of the all people. Next verse. He said, a light. He began to prophesy. A light. He said, Jesus is a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many heart be revealed. 36. And look at the second intercessor for the coming of the Messiah. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. She had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. So she got married as a virgin and she lived with her husband for just 7 years. And then the husband died. She became a widow. Next verse. He said, and she was a widow of about 84 years. That's what? 84 years. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with what? Fastings and prayer. You see that? So you can serve God with prayer and fasting. Fasting with prayer is a form of service to God. You see that? She fasted, she prayed night and day. Can you see the people that were laboring in prayer and fasting for Jesus to be born? Can you see this? For that prophecy to come to pass concerning the birth of the Messiah, it required the partnership of the intercessory ministry of Simeon and Anna night and day. Next verse. And she coming in, and God ensured that both of them saw the reward of their prayer. God ensured that they saw the harvest of their prayer, which was the birth of Jesus. She coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him all, and spake of him to all that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Can you shout amen? Amen. They've been praying for the Redeemer to come. Now he has come. Can you shout amen? So you must also understand this other point. Write this down. The prophetic word, when released, attracts enemy opposition. It attracts enemy action. The declaration of prophecies attracts satanic oppositions, satanic resistance and contention, in a bid, in an attempt to stop it from coming to pass. The devil and his kingdom will do everything within their power to stop the fulfillment of divine prophecies in the earth realm. Whether it is prophecy concerning your life or your family or your city or your nation, the enemy will do everything within their ability, with their ability, to stop it from coming to pass. So we must actively partner with the Holy Ghost and with his angelic host in prayers, in fastings, in order to defeat the counsel of the wicked, and in order to crush all forms of demonic opposition, to crush all forms of satanic resistance, demonic barriers to the fulfillment of those divine prophecies. Can you shout amen? Prayer is a major divine strategy for the activation and fulfillment of divine prophecies in the earth realm. Prayer is a major divine strategy for the activation and fulfillment of divine prophecies in the earth realm. Without engaging in heartfelt, earnest, and continued prayers with intensity and tenacity, prophecies can either be delayed or denied expression in the earth realm. I say, without engaging in heartfelt, earnest, and continued prayers with intensity and tenacity, prophecies can either be delayed or denied expression in the earth realm. Prayers and intercession, they activate the supply of the Spirit and the release of spiritual power. They activate the supply of the Spirit and the release of spiritual power or energy, which is needed to materialize prophecies in the earth realm. So, transporting prophecy, moving them from the realm of the spirit into the physical realm, requires spiritual energy, requires spiritual power. And that's what you generate in the place of prayer, in the place of intercession. And then fasting. Am I communicating? That understanding is very important. Then, secondly, look at Jesus. We saw that even the birth and the coming of Jesus, the prophecy for that to be fulfilled, for the fulfillment of that particular prophecy, it required what? The partnership of prayer and intercession of Simeon and Anna. Now, what about the messianic mission of Jesus on earth? The prophecy concerning the messianic mission of Jesus Christ, that is his earthly ministry, concerning the fulfillment of his earthly ministry, his assignment, his calling, his prophetic destiny on earth, needed prayers, and much prayers, even with fasting. Look up. Jesus could not fulfill his earthly assignment without engaging in prayer with fasting. What makes you think you can fulfill your own prophetic destiny with a life of prayerlessness? Is it possible? Jesus, our example, the pattern son, could not even fulfill his own prophetic destiny without engaging in serious prayer, even with fasting. What makes you think you can fulfill your own without prayer and fasting? Give me Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Even when after he was baptized and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, he still needed to pray. He still needed to fast. Can you see that? He says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 2. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, afterward he was hungry. Then, verse 3, the tempter came. If you read down, you will see that Jesus was tempted by the devil after he had fasted for 40 days and nights. So the fasting and prayer helped him to build spiritual capacity, spiritual strength, spiritual stamina to withstand and to resist temptation. You see that? You see that? Then in verse 14, we read that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and there went out the fame of him throughout all Galilee. You see that? After engaging in 40 days fasting, and then he successfully overcame all those temptations, we read that he returned in the power of the Spirit. He had activated power. He had activated the power of God. He had made tremendous power available. Am I communicating? To fulfill his destiny. The fame of him spread everywhere. Before now, we didn't hear that his fame spread. And then that was how the miracle, his miracle ministry began. Even his teaching ministry. The Bible said the people were astonished at his teaching. Everything changed. Can you see this? You cannot fulfill your destiny without engaging in prayer and fasting. Then give me Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Before Jesus chose his leaders, before he chose the 12 disciples, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain, not for mountaineering exercises, not to climb mountain, not for tourism. He went to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus did all night before he chose his disciple. Why was he doing all night? So that he will know God's will and align with God's will. He's doing all night so that he can program, am I communicating, himself to know God's will and then influence them to respond. Did you notice that anytime he calls them, none of them said no? Did you notice that? None of them, oh, they will leave their job. They will leave their father's business and follow him immediately. Because he had already programmed it from the realm of the spirit. It helped him. Continue all night in prayer to God. Next verse. And when it was day, see, before you make important destiny decision, make sure you spend time in prayer. to discern and know the will of God, and then to align with the will of God. Many of you take important decisions of your life, you just take it casually, you just take it emotionally. Important decision like who to marry, important decision like which job to do, where to stay. Because if God designed that you should be in Jos, if you go and stay in another city, you are delaying your destiny. And the only way God can help you is to move you back to where he has ordained for you to be part time. Are you getting me? It's very important. Don't just pick a job because it has high salary attached. That's how some people have picked job that they died in the process of doing the job, because they didn't care to find out God's will. They didn't see that it's a trap. The enemy wanted to kill them. Before you japa, find out the will of God. Or else you will japada. You know there is japa, then there is japada. You know japada? The same way you run out of Nigeria, you will run and come back. That's called japada. Let me tap your neighbor and say, before you japa, find out the will of God, so that you will not japada after you have japad. It's very important. The same God that told Abraham to japa, he said, leave your father's house. One day I'll preach a message, the God of japa and japada. You understand? The same God that told Abraham to japa, he said, leave your father's house, leave your country. Is that not japa? Genesis 12 verse 1, he said, go to a land I will show you. That's the land of Canaan. And then he started the journey, not knowing where he was going, but he was in obedience. And then God made him father of many nations. The same God, in Genesis 26, Isaac his son, there was famine in the land of the Philistine, in Gerar. And Isaac wanted to japa to Egypt. Because when there was famine in the land of Canaan, Abraham japaed to Egypt, where he lied and said Sarah was his wife. His sister. Well, in a sense, it was not a lie, but the motive was a lie. Because actually, she was his stepsister, but the motive was a lie. Because he was afraid that they were going to kill her. She was too fine. Those people, they don't waste time those days. Once you have a fine wife, they will eliminate you and collect your wife. Is that serious? But God showed up for him. God defended him. In fact, he ended up being enriched. Because in Genesis 12, towards the end, he went to Egypt. By the time he was coming out, in Genesis 13, he said Abraham was very rich in silver, in gold, and cattle. As if the famine and the japa strategy was meant to enrich him. Now, in Genesis 26, his son, there was famine. His son too was contemplating and planning to japa to Egypt like his father. But God's plan for him was different. God came to him. He said, do not go down to Egypt. He said, remain, sojourn in the land. Don't japa. He said, that your father japa does not mean you too should japa. God says, stay, I will bless you. God says, you sow, and he sowed. And in the same year, in verse 12, and Isaac planted, he sowed. And in the same year, he reaped what? A hundredfold harvest. And the man works great. Now, if he had japaed, would this have happened? Because your prosperity is connected to your divine location. Your God will bring your allocation to your divine location. But the problem is that God will come to the appointed location for people and they are nowhere to be found. Absent. Because they have jackpot somewhere else. God is looking for you in Jos and then you are in Port Harcourt. Who send you there? Say, na there, oil money day. Say, they make money for Port Harcourt, you see? You have been led wrongly. The Bible says, as many that are led by the Spirit of God. Green pasture is anywhere the Spirit of God leads you to. When you get there, start watering the ground. Start watering the seed there. Before you know, you have green pasture. Am I communicating?
So
Isaac became great because he obeyed the voice and leading of the Spirit, and the Philistine even envied him. Glory to God. Look at Jesus again. Watch this. Think of it. Jesus did all night to choose his 12 disciples, and one of them was a Judas. Imagine if he did not pray. Maybe he just went by sight. This one, with all this in six packs, he will be a good leader. Let's make him our assistant pastor. Praise God. You understand? This one is a bit speak English. Let's put in media. You know, there are some pastors that are funny. They are just led by the senses. They don't follow spirit. This one, a fine boy. Make him pastor. Give him front seat. Make him sit down here. Canal. Not knowing that now the person will go scatter the church with that. You understand? You have to be led. Tell your neighbor, be led by the Spirit. Go beyond the outward appearance. In choosing who to marry, pray and find out the will of God. Allow God choose for you. Choose the one God to choose for you. Don't insist on your own. Am I communicating? Because the person where you see, they look for transport today, can build mansion tomorrow. Don't judge people based on their present circumstance. Are you getting me? And the one way is he say he look like a multi-millionaire today can become a broke man tomorrow. Life is spiritual. Make choices as you are led by what? The Spirit. Do you know when Bishop Oyedepo asked his wife out? He was wearing sandal. He couldn't even buy a shoe. He didn't have those physical things that ladies are looking for today before they say yes to a guy. Glorious is laughing. It's true. But today, a lot of ladies are very materialistic. Their eyes are chook. As they ask them out, they already assess you from head to toe. This is shoe self. Na kataku ibayam. Even 700. I no go even buy this kind of shoe. See in clothes. Chai, it's an Aokrika. Is it? They are already assessing the guy based on physical appearance, physical things. So they cannot see. They can't use the eyes of the Spirit. They don't know that this person is ordained to become president or governor tomorrow. They can't see that one. The only physical, the one where you come with big jeep, even if na cultists, they cannot see that one. Am I communicating? Then tomorrow, in the call group, they say your next sacrifice, bring your wife. So you that you choose wrongly, they will now use you for the next sacrifice. Am I communicating? Choose by the Spirit. Bishop Oyedepo say Mommy Faith was not the first woman he asked to marry him. She was not even the second woman. She was not even the third. She was the fourth. So the first three bounced him. Why? Because they were looking at it. Then the only mouth he get, nothing in the physical to match. So, you know, women are looking for security. So they look at him. Say, Chai. Nei, first one. Nei, second one. Nei, third one. The only woman that was spiritual enough to see beyond the physical and see the future was Mommy Faith. So she said yes. And today all the other ones are envious of her because they were too blind. They follow men that have 1-2 cars. Now Mommy Faith is inside private jet. You see, don't be blind spiritually. Don't be myopic. Am I communicating? The same thing with the guys. You are following cuffs. Following shape. See, the wife I must marry must be fair. Okay, that you marry Mami Water, continue. Must be fair. You won't check character, you won't check God's will. You are looking at outward appearance. Go and ask your parents that have been married for long. Find out from them. You will get plenty wisdom about making the right choice for marriage. Just sit with them. Ask them. They will tell you whether it is beauty you are supposed to look for or character. Am I communicating? They will tell you which one is more important. They will tell you whether the will of God or cuffs and shapes, different sizes. You know, there's somebody that say, me, I like it full, so that by the time I pay bright price, it goes just full my bed. That is how some have ended up as fools. You understand? So let me tell you, neighbor, before you make decisions, important decisions, make sure you consult God in prayers so that you will not choose wrongly. Then in Luke chapter 9 verse 28, I'm showing you how prayer played an important role in the earthly ministry of Jesus. You saw how Jesus took Peter, James and John, then verse 29, to a mountain to pray, the Mount of Transfiguration. Then the Bible says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. You see, lives and destinies are altered for good on the altar of prayer. And his raiment was white and glistering. Next verse. And behold, there talk with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. Spiritual destiny helpers showed up. Spirit of just men made perfect. Men that carried the mantles, the graces he needed to fulfill his own destiny. He started attracting them in the place of prayer. Am I communicating? Then, if you read Luke chapter 11 verse 1. Luke chapter 11 verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, to tell you that Jesus had a prayer life. He was praying in a certain place. He even has a place where he prays. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. You see, they saw his example. They were inspired by his prayer life. And then they said, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. Then if you read Luke chapter 21 verse 37, I'm just showing you how prayer played a very important role in the ministry of Jesus. Luke 1:37, and in the daytime, he, Jesus, was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mountain that is called Mount Olives. Can you see that? Elijah is known for Mount Carmel as his prayer venue. Moses was known for what? Mount Sinai, where he communed with God. Jesus was known for Mount Olive. He will be there praying at night. Then in daytime, he will be teaching in the temple. Can you see how prayer preceded his teaching ministry? So teaching is not just moving stuff. Moving Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Without prayer, the people will not even understand what you are preaching. Not to talk of the word transforming their lives. Prayer will open their hearts. Prayer will even influence them. They will not even come to hear your teaching if you don't pray them to come. Am I communicating? Verse 38. Look at the result. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him in the temple. Can you see this? Why? Because he has already bidded for them in the night on Mount Olive. Glory to God. I say praise God. Luke 22:39. You see how just before Jesus went to the cross, before he was arrested, he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, I love the... You know, the word Gethsemane means oil press. Just like you have printing press. wine press. Gethsemane means what? Oil press. That's the place where you press out the oil. And it is in the place of prayer that you press out the oil, the anointing, the graces, the giftings, the things that are latent in your spirit, is in the place of prayer. You put pressure, you press them out. The grace of God, the anointing begins to find expression. That's the meaning of Gethsemane, oil press. He came out, went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed. Now, the Garden of Gethsemane is just around the valley where, the Garden of Gethsemane is around the valley where Mount Olive is located, okay? The two are close to each other. Next verse. And when he was at the place, that's at the Garden of Gethsemane, at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed. Next verse. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not thy will, but thine be done. Next verse. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Praise God. Next verse. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. He was praying with supernatural energy and ability after being strengthened by the angel. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You see that? This was how Jesus prayed, before he went to the cross. Do you know this was where Jesus gained the victory? Ever before he went to the cross, this was where he gained the victory. He prayed until he prevailed over his flesh. He then prevailed over Satan. He prevailed over demoniacal forces. He prevailed over even human will. Can you know the future, or can you know God's plan and purpose for your life more than Jesus knew? Do you think Jesus did not know the future? You think he didn't know God's plan and purpose for his life on earth? Why did he then have to pray? Because he understands that the enemy will want to frustrate it. The enemy will do everything to stop it, to ensure that it comes to pass according to God's plan and in God's time. He needed to pray it. And then to prevail over his flesh. You think his flesh liked the suffering? His flesh shrank from it. That was why he prayed, Father, let this cup pass away from me. That is his flesh speaking. Which cup? The cup of suffering. All those Roman nails being hit in his hand. All those suffering, those whip, those Roman koboko. If you see the way it is, they tie bones, very sharp bones and bottles at the edge. By the time they flog you, the thing will go round like that and then rip your back. By the time they draw it, the thing can tear your back. And then the shameful death. Everything, he saw it, his flesh crunched from it. That was why he said, let this cup pass from me. But thank God, he said, nevertheless, your will, not mine, be done. And what was the will of God? For him to go and die. Now, this was the only time God did not answer Jesus' prayer. Yes, now. What was Jesus' will here? Let the cup pass. Did God, Papa God, answer it? No. Because he needs to drink that cup, or else you and I, we are doomed. God's salvation plan would have been aborted if he had not drank that cup. Are you getting me? See, look up. If you want to dominate and prevail over your flesh, you must learn to pray. The first thing Jesus gained victory over and prevailed over was his flesh. Look at it here. His flesh did not want to go to the cross. His flesh did not want to drink of the cup of suffering. But in the place of prayer, you learn to tame your flesh. You learn to generate spiritual power and energy. You fortify your spirit. You strengthen your spirit to what? Dominate and prevail over your flesh. Jesus prevailed over his flesh. Do you know he prayed this prayer 3 times? If you read other account, and it was the third time that he gained the note of victory, he knew that it was done. So he was no longer afraid of going to the cross. He had submitted to God's will, and then he was ready. Confidence. When Judas came with those people to arrest him, he was even the one that presented himself. He said, "Whom do you seek?" He said, "Jesus." He said, "I am he." They fell down. You see, he was so bold. Why? He had already gained the victory in the place of prayer. Are you getting me? Kalabakasaya. Ingra kata kata kata. This is the real ministry. Oh. Hi. I wish people understand. Prayer is the real ministry. See. Do you see that? I've seen ministries in my short time. I've seen churches and ministry that grew and became influential. And then over time, everything fizzled out. Everything fizzled out. The growth, it was not real growth. It was a swelling. And then suddenly everything deflates, just the way a balloon deflates. Because see, listen, there is a difference between genuine church growth and a swelling. Sometimes what people call growth is actually a swelling. It has no foundation. It cannot stand the test of time. Give them time. You'll be surprised that just 1, 2, 3 demonic attack, pow, everything has gone down. Why? Because they were building without foundation. They use gimmicks to gather people. They use gimmicks. There are plenty pastors that do it today. They use gimmicks to gather people. They say, come and see, we have crowd in our church. But if you see with the eyes of the spirit, you will see that this is not genuine church growth. It's only a swelling. It will not stand the test of time. That's why after a while, everything goes down. You then wonder what happened. They built the work without foundation. It's like building a house without foundation. When the storms come, can that building survive? No foundation. No infrastructure were laid in prayer. No infrastructure. They didn't build wisely. I've seen 1, 2 demonic attack. The whole church, everything closed down. When I was on campus, there was a church. I was even part of that church. That was the reigning church on campus, Village Hostel. They had so many members. If I almost most people on campus were attending that church. Then 1, 2 demonic attack, the work died. That's why I always laugh when I see people start ministry and they don't give attention to prayer and fasting. You are building upon sand. You are building upon sand. I'm telling you the truth. It's just a matter of time. You will realize you've not built anything. When we started AGMI, those initial meetings, I think either the second or the third meeting in Jerotel, plenty people gathered, though. Plenty people gathered. Even though we kept having changing congregation. That's all the people that we attend this Sunday. By next Sunday, we won't see them. A new set of people will come. And there will be many. Then by next Sunday again, new congregation. So almost every Sunday, Dr. Ghana complained to me. Any new place is like that. One of those Sundays, I was standing like this just before I came up to preach. The Holy Ghost said I should turn and look at the congregation. I turned and looked at them. And then I heard one of the strangest words I ever heard in my life. The Holy Ghost said, the people that are meant to be in this work, that's the people he has ordained to be part of this vision. He said, they are not yet here. What? And we had crowd. He said, they are not here. They are not yet here. Oh. What? and he was talking about you people. What brought you people? Should I tell you why you came and stayed here? Prayer, the one we were praying since, not this one. No, this one we are praying now is bringing the future people. Yes, you won't see them now, but they will show up later. One by one, they will show up. Prayer power will pull them. Some of them are in China, some are in US, some are in Port Harcourt, some are in Abuja, some are in Jos. They are all over the world, but prayer power is pulling them. Gradually, at the appointed time, they will come. Some of them are billionaires. I say some of them are billionaires. You think we will be here forever? No. No. We won't be here forever. We won't be here for long. Praise God. The foundation for any work that will last and be durable, durable and enduring success, is prayer. Kenneth Copeland wrote a book. He said, prayer, the foundation of success. Without prayer, just know that whether it is ministry you are building, or family you are building, or marriage, or business, or career, name it, anything you are building, without laying a solid foundation in prayer, you are building on sand. You are building on sand. And when the storms and the wind come, it will not survive. Are you listening? It will not survive. You see young pastors today, they say they want to start ministry, and the only thing they are interested in is stage. Fine stage. Is fine stage bad? It's not, but should it be the first thing you should be thinking of? When you are building a work, should that be your emphasis? They are interested in fine stage. Then some of them borrow money to buy later suit. Fine boy, Abby, so that they will attract girls to the ministry, ba? That is how they have attracted Delilahs and what? Jezebels, that will scatter the work tomorrow. Because they are doing everything by the flesh. Instead of them to invest in prayer and fasting. We have prayed, we have fasted, we are still praying, we are still fasting. We are not done building, oh. Do you know where this ministry is going? I've seen the future of this ministry. In peace and pieces, in bits and pieces, God have shown me the future of AGMI. And I know that this thing requires serious foundation. We must invest seriously in prayer. If we must get there. Because we must get there. I say we must get there. I've seen the future. And plenty of people, some people have told me the visions God showed them. Some of you are part of them. If you have been praying really for AGMI, and you really believe in the ministry, God will have given you some glimpses. Am I lying? Of the future of the ministry. You must have seen some part like that. You understand? People have told me, and all of that, confirmations here and there. But I know that these things cannot come to pass automatically. We must play our part. We must war with these prophecies. We must invest in prayer. Are you getting me? There was a vision that I had. Okay, let me take it. Let me leave it. I'm not led to share it. Let's move on. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, while looking at the ministry of Jesus, his prayer life, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Next verse. So Jesus had a regimented prayer life, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. Next verse. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. All men seek for thee. Jesus went and sought the face of his father in prayer. And the next thing they were looking for him, he said, all men seek for thee. Do you know, spending time in God's presence in prayer, it increases your value. Are you aware? You become highly valuable. Look at it. You say all men are seeking for thee. You, in fact, it's not just that you are selling valuable product and service. You become the product that people are looking for to buy. You become the valuable product itself. All men what? Seek for thee. Prayer will give you influence. It will give you influence over people's lives. It will give you influence over territory. Do you know the more you pray for your family, the more your words will carry power and authority so that it can influence your family. Are you aware? Yes. The reason why sometimes you speak over your family and nothing happens, it looks as if your words are powerless. You will speak, they don't listen to you. It's because you have not yet invested in prayer for your family. See, if you learn to intercede for them, your words will carry weight over them. When you speak, they obey you. When you declare, it happens. Are you getting me? The same thing with the city of Jos. When you intercede for a city, you influence and lead that city in the realm of the spirit. You gain vital authority over that territory that you consistently pray and intercede for. Matthew 14:22. Look at Jesus. After he had fed the multitude with bread and fishes, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Next verse. And after dispatching them, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Next verse. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Next verse. And in the fourth watch of the night. What time is the fourth watch of the night? Help me. Fourth watch of the night is what time? Talk to me now. Fourth watch of the night is when? 4 a.m. Let me help you. What the Jews call night is 12, midnight. So if you count 1, 2, 3, 4, is 4 what? A.m. Fourth watch of the night. Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Did you notice that after he dispatched, sent the multitude away, after feeding them, he then told the disciples to get into the boat. They started the journey before him. He himself was spending time with God. In fact, he remained there. He did all night praying. It was 4 a.m. Jesus was done with his prayer. When he had prayed and generated the power of God, he had made so much power available, he had activated the anointing so much that when he came, he didn't even recognize the difference between land and water. He was walking on the water. The power to walk on water, he activated it in the place of prayer. And then he went and rescued the disciples. They were tossed to and fro by the wind. Am I communicating? The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes what? Tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. The reason why Jesus completed his messianic mission and fulfilled his earthly ministry successfully, why he did not fail, was because he invested richly in prayer, even with fasting. To even start his messianic ministry, he went on 40 days prayer and fast, and then he continued praying from time to time. Am I communicating? And his prayer and fasting even covered for his disciples, because they did not need to pray and fast when Jesus was alive. It was after he left, he told them they will need to pray and fast. Are you listening? So your prayer and fasting will not only benefit you, it will benefit those that are connected to you. They will also be reaping the dividends. Are you listening? So many things could have gone wrong. If Jesus had not prayed, do you know his flesh would have stopped him from going to the cross? Because his flesh did not want to go. That's why he said, let this cup pass over me, the cup of suffering. But it was his prayer that tamed his flesh and made his flesh to submit to the will of God. And then his spirit dominated his flesh, and then he went to the cross. Then secondly, if Jesus had not prayed, listen, if Jesus had not prayed, do you know Pilate would have released him to go free? Pilate would have released him. You know, Pilate, after cross examining Jesus, he said, I found no guilt at all in this man. If Jesus had not prayed to prevail over the will of man, do you know Pilate would have aborted the plan? In his own mind, he's doing something good, he's doing justice. But he didn't know the plan of God was that Jesus has to die. And he was the one that had the authority to condemn Jesus to death. So many things would have gone wrong if Jesus had not prayed. God's redemption program would not have succeeded. Now, not to even talk of that one. Okay, let's forget about Pilate releasing him. What of that dream that Pilate's wife had? That came and said, have nothing to do with this man. You say, I suffered yesterday so much in my dream because of this man. This man must be an innocent man. He said, don't kill him. Now, if Jesus had not prayed, Pilate's wife would have convinced Pilate to set Jesus free. And if Jesus had not died, how would salvation and redemption come to humanity? Do you understand what prayer does? So many things. Prayer will enter into your future and program things to happen in your favor. It will even influence people's will and decision to favor you, to ensure that God's plan and purposes come to pass. Are you listening? Kalabaka soboko teke brakataya. Radikubaya. Then look at Abraham. Abraham. To show you how prayer helps in the fulfillment of prophecy. The prophecy God gave to Abraham concerning his descendants, that's the children of Israel, coming out of Egyptian bondage and captivity after 400 years, needed the serious prayers of the children of Israel for that prophecy to find fulfillment. Give me Genesis 15:13. The prophecy God gave to Abraham concerning his descendants or his seed, that's the children of Israel in the flesh, coming out of Egyptian bondage and captivity after 400 years. That prayer needed the serious, that prophecy needed the serious prayers of the children of Israel to activate it to fulfillment. God told Abraham, he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. He's talking of the land of Egypt. And they shall afflict them. How many years? 400 years. Verse 14. And also that nation whom they shall serve, talking of Egypt, will I judge. Did God judge Egypt? Did God later judge Egypt? He said, afterward they shall come out with what? Great substance. Can you now see why they spoiled Egypt when they left? They left with silver and gold. God gave them favor. Can you shout amen? But did you notice that this prophecy could not be fulfilled until the children of Israel cried out to God? Give me Exodus 2:23. Pharaoh so oppressed them. They suffered. They were in bondage for 400 years. 400 years came and passed. The prophecy was not fulfilled. They did nothing. Heaven did nothing. 410 years. They did nothing. Heaven did nothing. 420 years, they did nothing. Heaven too did nothing. 430th year, then they cried to God by reason of the oppression. And it came to pass in the process of time, the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of the bondage. They cried in prayer, and look at the response, 24. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Next verse. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Until they cried to God in prayer, God did not respond to bring them out. Because you will realize, chapter 3, that was when God had to look for Moses. God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, the deliverer. He said, come, I'm sending you to go and bring them out. Do you know that if the children of Israel had not cried to God in prayer, they would have remained in captivity forever? Are you aware? Even though God prophesied and told Abraham that they will spend 400 years, Satan added extra 30 years. So the extra 30 years delay was not God's will. It was because of their prayerlessness. Because they failed to partner with God in prayer for that prophecy to be activated. Prophecy say 400 years. Satan added 30 extra. And he will have continued adding if they had not risen up in prayer. So you now see the reason why some people's prophetic destiny is being delayed. It's not because it is God's will. See, you must learn to discern demonic delays from waiting upon the Lord. You know, there are some prophecies that the time has not yet come for their fulfillment. Then there are those that the time has come, and yea, it has even passed, but it's not fulfilled because you have not partnered with God in prayer to bet them to manifestation. Are you listening? So not all delays are because of God's will. No, demonic delays happen. The additional 30 years delay the children of Israel suffered in Egypt, even though the prophecy say 400 years, was not God's will, was not God's plan. It wasn't part of it, but it was a demonic delay because they failed to partner with God in prayer. So prayerlessness can make people's prophetic destiny to suffer serious demonic delays. Do you know people's prophetic destiny can be delayed, can even be denied when they don't pray? Are you aware? It can be delayed expression in the earth realm. It can even be denied expression in the earth realm until they learn to partner with God in prayers. Are you listening? Look at the example of Elijah. The prophecy God gave Elijah about sending rain. Give me 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 1. The prophecy God gave Elijah about sending rain after 3.5 years of drought required the fervent, earnest prayer of Elijah with intensity and tenacity on Mount Carmel for about 7 hours to materialize that prophecy in the earth realm. For that prophecy to find fulfillment, it came to pass after many days, 1 Kings 18:1, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah the third year. This was after 3.5 years of drought. God said, go show thyself unto Ahab, I will send rain upon the earth. Can you see the prophecy God gave him? What was the word? Go and what? Show yourself to Ahab. When you do that, I will what? Okay, let's find out when they met. Verse 17. When did he show himself? Jump to 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Verse 18. But and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. As he showed himself to Ahab, as rain falling, talk to me now. So did God lie? God said, go and show yourself to Ahab, I will send rain. Now they have met with Ahab. instead of rain falling, they were arguing with each other. He said, are you the troubler of Israel? He said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house. Because Ahab has led Israel into idolatry. But go to verse 41. Verse 41. Jump to 41. You must understand how to activate prophecies on the altar of prayer. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So can you see that God did not lie? Elijah was even hearing the rain falling in the realm of the spirit, but not in the physical. In the spirit, the rain was already falling. So the prophecy is authentic, is a reality already in the spirit realm. But in the physical, the rain is not falling. So what did Elijah do? Next verse. To import what has happened, what is ordained in the spirit realm, that prophetic word, to bring it to manifestation in the earth realm, Elijah needed to partner with God in prayer. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Verse 43. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. Somebody say seven times. And seven is the number of perfection. And the standard Jewish prayer is 1 hour. Bible scholars say from the time the Elijah told his servant, go and check, before he goes and come by, is 1 hour. And he went seven times. How many hours is that? Okay, next verse. And it came to pass at the seventh time, and he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Verse 45. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So Elijah needed to activate that prophecy concerning rainfall on the altar of what? Earnest, fervent, continued prayer. You learn to pray with intensity and tenacity so that every prophetic word God has spoken to you will find rapid fulfillment in their season without further delay. Are you listening? And then you see Job, James chapter 5 verse 16b. He showed us how Elijah prayed. He started by saying Elijah was a man of like passion. He prayed earnestly that it should not rain for a space of 3.5 years over the earth, and it rained not. And then he said, he prayed again to activate the prophecy concerning rainfall. He prayed again. And then we saw how he prayed. James 5:16b amplified. He said, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes what? Tremendous power. Listen. Moving prophecy from the spirit realm into the physical realm requires spiritual power. It requires spiritual energy. It is in the place of prayer you make that spiritual power available to materialize the prophecy. You make spiritual power available, spiritual energy available to bring to pass that prophecy in the earth realm. Are you getting me? This is very important. Warring with prophecy. That's what we are looking at, right? The next example I will give you is a prophecy of Jeremiah. Give me Daniel chapter 9 verse 2. The prophecy of Jeremiah in Daniel chapter 9 verse 2 about the Israelite coming out of Babylonian captivity after 70 years. That prophecy needed Daniel's investment in prayers, intercessions with fasting for it to be fulfilled. Look at what Daniel said. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. So he was a student of prophecies. I understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Now give me Jeremiah 25:11. Let's see where Daniel prophesied this. That prophecy of, where Jeremiah prophesied this. Let's see that prophecy of Jeremiah. He said they are supposed to spend how many years in captivity in Babylon? 70. He said, and this whole land, Jeremiah 25:11, this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and this nation shall serve the king of Babylon for how many years? 70. Next verse. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, said the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. Verse 13. And I will bring upon that land all the words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah had prophesied against all the nations. So by this prophecy, you can see that God ordained that Jerusalem, the children of Israel, are supposed to spend only 70 years in Babylonian captivity, right? But Daniel understood something about activating prophecies. He knew that when he read the prophecy of Jeremiah, he realized this is the season for the fulfillment of that prophecy. But if he does nothing to partner with God, if he fails to pray, they will remain in captivity. Daniel understood that. Now, go back to Daniel 9 verse 2, you can see. Look at his response. To activate that prophecy to manifestation, look at what he did. Verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Can you see his response? Can you see his response to the prophecy? Can you see his response? Why was he praying? Why was he fasting? Why was he worrying with that prophetic word? In order to what? Bring it to pass. In order to bring it to manifestation in this earth realm. Very important. Very, very important. Verse 4. You will see how it went on. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant, mercy to them that love him. So you see, his intercessory prayer was necessary to activate that prophecy so that they will come out of Egyptian bondage and captivity. Then the next example I will give you is that of the prophecy. Give me Judges 20 verse 18. The prophecy of victory that God promised the Israelites in the battle against their brothers, Benjamites, when the children of Israel went to battle with their brothers, that's the Benjamites, the children of Benjamin, those from the tribe of Benjamin. God gave them a promise of victory, but that prophecy required prayer and fasting and even sacrificial giving. Prayer, fasting, and sacrifice for its fulfillment. Let's look at that story. I will never forget the first time I read this story. The thing was very funny to me. But it taught, this story teaches a lot of lessons. Listen carefully, oh, because some people will say, God told me this. Why is it not happening in my life? Read this story very well so that you will gain wisdom and know what to do and play your part for it to come to pass. Because God cannot lie. I say God cannot lie. See, anything God tells you is true. Any prophecy God shows you is true. All those dreams and visions you are having concerning God's plan and purpose for your life, concerning the future, they are all true. But you must learn how to partner with God in prayer. You must learn how to play your part for it to come to pass. And the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel. They asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. Verse 19. And the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. 20. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. 21. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel. And that day, how many people died? 22,000 men. What? They lost. Even though God say Judah should go first. Next verse. And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array. In the place where they put themselves array in the first day, that's the second day of the battle now. And the children of Israel went up and wept. They went up and wept before the Lord until evening, and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, go up against him. Verse 24. And the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. 25. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed them to the ground of the children of Israel. Again, how many? 18,000 men. They lost the one, lost 22,000 men. Now they two, how many? 18,000. All these drew sword. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted. What did they do differently this time around? They fasted that day until evening and did what again? Look at the formula they applied. Initially, all they were doing was just weeping, crying in prayer. Sometimes, listen, to activate prophecy to fulfillment, prayer alone is not enough. Here is a tripartite formula they applied to get victory finally. Prayer plus fasting plus what? Plus sacrifice. Sometimes you are praying about some things, you are not getting result. Add fasting. You add fasting, you are not still getting the result. Add sacrifice. If you combine this tripartite force, you will get answer. I've tried it personally and it has worked for me. I saw it in the Bible. Some things you say you've been praying long, no change. Add fasting. You say you added fasting, no change. Add sacrifice. It will not bounce. Did you hear what I said? This was what they did differently this time around. They prayed, they fasted, they sacrificed peace offering unto the Lord. Look at what happened next. 27. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. 28. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar the son of Aaron stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet go out to battle against the children of Benjamin my brother, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for today I will deliver them into thy hand. Did you notice the response was a bit different from the initial ones? The initial one, God will just say, go up. But this time around, when they combined prayer, fasting, and sacrifice, God said, go up today. I will deliver them into their hands. And let's see what happened next. Verse 29. And Israel set liars to wait round about Gibeah. 30. Just be moved. And the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day and put themselves in array against Gibeah as at other times. 31. And the children of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city, and they began to smite of the people and kill as at other times in the highways, which one goeth up to the house of God and the other Gibeah in the field, about 30 men of Israel. Next verse. And the children of Benjamin said, they are smitten down before us as at the first, But the children of Israel said, let us flee and draw them from the city unto the highways. So it was a plan to lay ambush for them. 33. And all the men of Israel rose up out of their place and put themselves in array at Baal Tamar. And the liers in wait of Israel came forth out of their palaces, even out of the meadows of Gibeah. Next verse. And there came against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and the battle was sore. But they knew not that evil was near them, because Israel had activated spiritual forces in their favor. 35. And the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed of the Benjamite that day. How many? 25,100 men, all these that drew sword. So victory came finally after they partnered with God to activate that prophetic word by engaging in three things. What are those things? Prayer, fasting, sacrifice. Anytime it looks as if prophecies are delaying, especially when you have discerned that the season for it has come, but it's not manifesting, combine these three things. It's as simple as that. Combine these three things: prayer, fasting, sacrifice. No matter the opposition from the pit of hell, it cannot stand the combination of these three things. Prayer, fasting with what? Sacrifice. Then the final example, the seventh one I will give you, is Jacob engaged in serious prayer, passionate prayer, when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord until his name was changed by the angel from Jacob to Israel. And the covenant of Abrahamic blessing was activated to fulfillment in his life after he had suffered for 20 years. Give me Genesis 32 verse 24. Jacob was the sole carrier of the Abrahamic blessing. His father had released the blessing on him. He carried the blessing of Abraham, but do you know he suffered and struggled for 20 years without the blessing finding expression in his life on earth. He was a carrier of the blessing, yet his life was a mess. He suffered, he struggled, despite all his encounters. In Genesis 28, you will see how he encountered the angel of the Lord, that prophetic Jacob's ladder, angels ascending. And said, all those things were happening, yet his life was not making progress. Until one day, the Bible says, and when Jacob was left alone, he got tired of this life of suffering and struggling. He said, no way, I can't be carrying the blessing of Abraham and be suffering like this. He decided to activate that covenant of Abrahamic blessing into manifestation by engaging in prayer. Are you listening? Heartfelt prayer, just like Jabez. Kaligo Balakataya. Jacob was left alone. He wrestled with a man until the breaking of the day. Verse 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, that's the angel, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and as he wrestled with him, in other words, the angel dislocated his hip joint. And the hip joint is responsible primarily for stability. As a human being stable, standing and walking is a job. Without this hip joint, you will not be stable, you won't be able to walk well. So in order to destabilize him, the angel dislocated, touch this joint, it came out, yet Jacob will still not let go. To tell you how the guy was desperate for a change of story and status. Next verse. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. It was all night wrestling in prayer. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless. What? I thought it was a career of Abrahamic blessing. He was talking of activating the blessing over his life. One of the ways you activate the blessing is through prayer. Okay? Next verse. He says, he said unto him, what is thy name? He said, Jacob. What's the meaning of Jacob? Jacob and James, they mean the same thing. Jacob and what? James. They mean the same thing. What do they mean? Deceiver. Supplanter. Someone that is cunning. Are you getting me? Cunning. In our day, we'll say Yahoo. Yahoo, Yahoo. That's the meaning of Jacob. As you can see, his life has been the story of his name, right? That's why it's good to bear the correct name. The angel of the Lord could not do anything about his case until he changed his name. Tell your neighbor, don't bear the wrong name. But your name is a confession. It's a prophecy of your future. He said, what is thy name? He said, Jacob. And verse 28, he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. Somebody say, no more Jacob. But Israel. Wow. He prayed his way to a change of name and identity from Jacob, the supplanter, deceiver, 419, into what? Israel. Israel, a prince with power. Jacob is an individual. Israel is a nation. He moved from an individual into a nation. He prayed his way from an individual into an institution. He prayed his way to a change of story, a change of status, a change of situation. He says, your name from today is Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and power with men. And what? Has prevailed. Before Jacob could prevail in the physical, he needed to prevail in the spirit. You must prevail in prayers. You must prevail in the spirit before you can prevail in the physical. Are you listening? Because life is spiritual. Soloboko sabala kataya. Life is spiritual. Tell your neighbor, life is spiritual. As I round up, how do you war in prayer for the fulfillment of prophecies? How do you war in prayer for the fulfillment of prophecies? We'll soon pray now. Number one, pray fervently in faith in the name of Jesus. This is how to war in prayers for the fulfillment of prophecies. Number one, pray fervently in faith in the name of Jesus. Pray in faith. The prayer that works is the one that is done in faith. Don't pray in doubt. Don't pray in unbelief. Pray in faith. Don't pray in fear. Pray in faith and use the name of Jesus. All authority and power is in that name. No devil can stand that name. All of them bow to the name of Jesus. Then, as you pray in faith, you learn to prophesy with the prophets. What that simply means is that keep declaring over your life the same prophetic words that have been spoken over you. We call it prophesying with the prophets. Those prophetic, divine prophetic words, either God told you personally, or he used his servants to speak those words over your life. Write them down. Take note of them. Because as you engage in prayer and faith, you carry those same words and begin to prophesy them over your life. Are you listening? You make those prophetic decrees in faith. You release those prophetic proclamation, prophetic declaration in faith. Because God said, as you have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. Thou shalt decree a thing, it shall be established unto you. Jesus said, you shall have whatsoever you say, when you say it in faith. Am I communicating? Number two, how do you war in prayers for the fulfillment of prophecy? Pray passionately, wholeheartedly in the spirit, and be sensitive to receive and obey the voice and leadings of the Holy Spirit. I say pray passionately, wholeheartedly in the spirit, and be sensitive to receive and obey the voice and leadings of the Holy Spirit. Bible says, Ephesians 6:18, praying with all manner of prayer in the spirit and watching unto with thanksgiving. As you pray, be sensitive to receive divine signals, the voice and leadings of the Holy Spirit, and make sure you yield in obedience. Okay, obey whatever it tells you to do. Do it. You will see prophecies fulfilled when you follow the voice of the voice and leading of the Holy Spirit that you have received in prayer. Number three, you pray with intensity and tenacity. You pray with intensity, the earnest, heartfelt. There has to be earnestness. Pray with intensity. Pray with seriousness. Don't be casual in your approach. And then you pray with tenacity. You must learn to persevere in prayer until you get the note of victory, until you see manifestation. Don't stop praying. You pray and you persevere, tenacity. You pray with persistence. You pray with patience. Remember, faith always go with patience. Say, follow them who through faith and patience inherited the promise. So if it is true that you are praying in faith, you are in faith, then you must learn to patiently wait for the manifestation. After you have already completed the transaction in the realm of the spirit, you have gotten the note of victory. Number four, pray seriously with fastings. You pray seriously with fasting. Fasting is a prayer booster. Fasting is a prayer intensifier. Fasting is a prayer facilitator. Fasting is a prayer enhancer. Fasting amplifies the effect of your prayer. It's a prayer amplifier. It's a booster. It's an intensifier. Sometimes you pray, it looks as if the answers are not forthcoming. Add fasting. Am I communicating? Add fasting to it. It's a prayer booster. It's a prayer amplifier. Remember when in Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 10, you remember when Daniel prayed? And he needed to add 21 days fasting to the prayer before he saw an answer. And then when the angel Gabriel finally brought the answer, he said, from day one that you set your heart to pray, God heard you and released the answer. He gave me the answer to bring it. In the process of bringing the answer, when I got to the territory of Persia, he said, the prince of Persia will lead me, and I jack and detained me. But thank God Daniel added fasting. His fasting called for angelic reinforcement. Michael, the archangel, needed to be released to come and help Gabriel. And then he engaged the prince of Persia in combat. Then Gabriel was free to go and deliver the answer. So can you see that there was a warfare taking place in the realm of the spirit between angel Gabriel, angel Michael, and the prince of Persia? Had Daniel not prayed, he would not have seen the answer. If he had not added fasting to his prayer, rather, he wouldn't have seen answer in this earth realm, even though God had released the answer. See, watch this. The problem is not on the giving end. God can hear your prayer and release the answer immediately. But do you know there are demonic enemy opposition? There are demonic interruption and interception that can hijack the answer in the realm of the spirit. And that is why you need to add fasting, aggressive, brutal prayer and fasting to tear down every demonic opposition and barrier to the reception of your answer. Because between the giving and the receiving, there may be barriers. Are you getting me? To overcome that demonic blockade, Daniel needed to add fasting so that there will be no delay, or else he will keep waiting and the answer is not coming, and it will now look as if God did not answer. God answered. The enemy hijacked the answer. Are you listening? I'm giving you spiritual intelligence so that you will know how to pray and how to fast. Okay? So fasting added to prayer helps to overcome every demonic barricade, every satanic interruption and intercession to your answer. Then, number five, you learn to pray with sacrifice. I've thought about this. Sometimes fasting with prayer is not enough. You have to add sacrifice to the equation. And there are different dimensions of sacrifice. The first one is the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of worship. Do you know praise and worship is a sacrifice? It is. It says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So you add the sacrifice of praise to it. Can you remember what happened when Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail? The Bible says, Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas, they prayed and they what? Sang. So they prayed until they crushed barriers, got the note of victory, and then they switched to praise. And as they offered that sacrifice of praise, the presence of God, the manifest presence, descended in the prison. And all doors were open, all bands were loosed. Am I communicating? Their deliverance came. Sacrifice of praise. Psalm 141 verse 2, David the psalmist said, let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense, and the lifting up of my hands as what? The evening sacrifice. And that lifting up of hands is talking of prayer of worship. So can you see that the prayer of worship, David equated it as what? Sacrifice. So you learn to offer the sacrifice of praise. Then the second dimension of sacrifice is the sacrifice of your substance. Sacrifice of your substance. Am I communicating? That scripture Pastor Nenkub read earlier. 1 Samuel 7 verse what? 10. Give me 1 Samuel 7:10. The sacrifice of your substance. Sometimes you engage in spiritual battle with your battle seed. Not just battle seed, battle sacrifice. You fight with your sacrifice. We've seen the example of how the children of Israel prevail over the Benjamites by a combination of prayer, fasting, and their sacrifice. Let's see another one. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistine drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines. Can you see how their sacrifice was speaking for them? Can you see their sacrifice speaking for them? They were in a battle with the children of the Philistine, and the children of Israel told Prophet Samuel, the priest and prophet, he said, don't cease to cry to God for us. Please pray and intercede for us. But Samuel understood priesthood, that look, it's not just enough to pray. He went and carried a sacrifice. And as he was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistine drew near, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder upon the Philistine. And they were discomfited, and they were smitten before Israel. Kaligo barakataya. Are you listening? Give me Psalm 126 from verse 1. It said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Verse 3. It says, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Verse 4. It said, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. God turned the captivity first time. They did not know how it happened. Now they are crying, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as a stream in the south. Let's find out how God turned it the first time. Next verse. Verse 5. He said, they that sow in tears. Why is there tears? Why they are sowing? Because it was not just casual seed. It was a sacrifice. It was sacrificial sowing. The type that touches your emotion. The type that looks scary and risky. How will you survive? God say, empty your bank account and you gave everything. How will you survive? What will you eat? What will you use for transport? You will die. Oh, you see. So you see, it's coming with tears because it's a sacrifice. Are you seeing this? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Shall reap in joy. I think it was in April we were to commence our avalanche of good news radio broadcast, just like announced. We already had the seed on ground to start with one of the radio station, but I was restrained. The Lord said, you are about to go on a very important project, and yet you have not sown serious seed on the ground. Because it's possible we can go and then after a while we'll stop and we'll be back to square one. Do you know the first time Joyce Meyer went on air? After a few months, she came back. It could not be sustained. She went on air the first time and debt everywhere until she could not continue. She had to come out of it. Then she was praying to God. What happened? God said, this project you are about to go, even though God was the one that told her to go, God said, have you sown seed? Have you sown seed that you are going to reap the harvest? So she then gained wisdom. Then she started sowing seed and partnering. And after a while, when she went on air, since that time, she has never gone back. So it gave me a lot of wisdom. Before you engage in any major project, make sure you plant seed on the ground. If you want it to stand the test of time. So, we started scattering seed as we were led. Send 100,000 to this person. Send another 100,000 to this person. Send another 100. We're just scattering seed. Are you getting me? And then by God's grace, after laying proper foundation and giving sacrificially towards the project, we are going to kick off next month. I say we will kick off next month. Me and my wife, we were in JFM to see the people involved, and we've already struck a deal with them. We've already gotten a slot. We have already gotten Saturday 8 to 8:30 a.m. in the morning. You can listen to us beginning from next month. Are you getting me? Never engage in a project without putting seed on the ground. You may not survive it when enemy attack comes. Your seed and sacrifice has a voice. You know, we say the spirit realm respond to sacrifice. Am I communicating? You want to go for an exam? Look for a sacrifice and give God. Look for a sacrifice, sow it into the life of the anointed. Let them speak words over you and carry that words into the exam hall and see whether you will fail. Am I communicating? You want to, if I, it's a rule general in life, it's not just about ministry, it's a rule. Anytime you're about to engage in a major project, don't just go like that. Do some otumopo. Let spiritual forces back you up. Are you getting me? Kaligo baraka pakataka breketos. Shelekondo fregila kapatina. Ambrakata sabalakunde feletina. Are you listening? The sacrifice of your substance. Substance talks of your money. You know, some people find it hard to give money. You say 100 days prayer and fasting, they say I am in. You say give sacrifice, they say I am out. They would rather do 1,000 days prayer and fasting than to give to God. No wonder their poverty is very anointed. Let me not go there. Because you can never come out of poverty without giving. Impossible. Now listen. The first dimension of sacrifice is sacrifice of praise and worship. Second one is sacrifice of your substance. The third one is what? Sacrifice of your life. You lay on Romans 12 verse 1. Sacrifice of your life. Total surrender. You yield to God in complete obedience to His will. Sacrifice of your life. This one is the greatest. Because if you give God your life and you surrender to Him completely, it's easy to give of your substance. It's easy to give Him sacrifice of praise. Am I communication? I say communication. Am I communicating? This one is the highest dimension. You lay down your will and choose to do God's will in complete surrender. Many people find it hard to give to God because they have not yet yielded and surrendered their life to Him. They have not yielded to the Lordship of Christ. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead one. In the New Testament, we don't give dead sacrifice. It's a living. In the Old Testament, they give dead sacrifice. Blood of bulls, they slaughter dead animals, they give to God. But in the New Testament, it's living sacrifice. Sacrifice of praise is living. Sacrifice of your body is living. Am I communicating? Holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. Give me 2 Corinthians 8 verse 1. Let me show you something powerful there. I saw this and it really blessed me some years back. From verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, we do the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Move on. He said, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their deep poverty. Can you see they were in deep poverty? But how did they come out? They came out through sacrificial giving. If you read down, and Paul praised them, the church in Macedonia. And then he even asked the church in Corinth that they should pray for this kind of grace, the giving grace that was upon the churches of Macedonia, that giving grace that made them to prosper and come out of deep poverty. Look at it now. It says their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Verse 3. It says, for to their power I bear them record, and beyond their power. You see, to their power is giving according to your ability. Then beyond their power is sacrifice. Can you see the difference between the two? They gave according to their what? Ability. Then they went a step further and gave sacrificially, even beyond their power. Because this was how they came out of poverty. They were in deep poverty. Next verse. He says, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift, so that take the fellowship of ministering to the saint. Verse 5. He says, and this they did not as we hope. But look at this, where I'm going. Look at verse 5 very well. Look at how they give. How did they give? This they did, not as we hoped. But first, somebody say first. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. If you struggle to give, this is the cure. You struggle because you've not yet given yourself to the Lord. When you offer yourself as a living sacrifice on God's altar and you lay down your will you still be struggling to give God your money? Will you be struggling to give God your car or your house or anything? The reason why you find it hard to give is because you have not yet yielded yourself to God. This is the secret of giving. He said they first gave themselves to God. They gave their heart to God. They gave their will to God. In obedience, complete surrender. When you do this, it's easier to give all the other types of sacrifice, whether it's sacrifice of your money or your resources or your praise. Everything else becomes easy when you have what? Giving yourself to God. So you learn to pray with these three dimensions of sacrifice. What are the three dimensions? Number one, of praise. Number two, of your substance. That's financial and material resources. Number three, of your life. That is, you lay down your will. You give God your heart. You yield to His Lordship completely. Then, the last thing I'll give you, how to war in prayers for the fulfillment of prophecy. You pray sincerely with the right attitude of your heart. You pray sincerely with what? The right attitude of your heart. In bracket, purity of motive. Purity of what? Motive. James chapter 4 verse 2. One of the reasons for unanswered prayer is people praying with wrong motives. People praying with impure motives. People praying with ulterior motives. You must learn to pray with the right. All this, oh Father, bless me so that I go show my neighbor, say I pass them, I go revenge. You know, some people are very funny. They think God is like a man. They are praying so that God will bless them, so that they will show their neighbor pepper. Wrong motive. Life no be competition. Life is not a competition. Live your life. Find out God's plan and purpose. Align. All this, God bless me so that I will deal with this person, so that I will prove to people that I'm not a failure. Pray with the right motive. He said, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. So he said the first problem is that they did not ask in prayer. Then verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. So the second reason why they are not getting answer is because though they are asking in prayer, but their motive was not right. They are asking with wrong motive. So they are asking amiss. They are praying amiss. Says they were praying so that they will consume it upon their lust. Father, bless me with money so that you will marry 5 wives. Look at you. Praise God. You are praying God should bless you so that you will start alcoholic beverage business. Start selling what will kill people. Am I communicating? You are praying for the anointing so that you will get money. So that people will respect you. Wrong motive. Not so that you will be a blessing to your generation. So that people will bow and come and clean your shoe. and even worship yourself, and you too, you will even accept the worship. Am I communicating? Wrong motive. Some ladies, you are praying for a good husband, the one that is better than your friend that just got married, so that you will prove a point that your own bobo better pass her own, even fine pass her own, you get money pass her. You see, look at you. Wrong motive. So you learn to pray with sincerity of heart. You learn to pray with the right motive. Am I communicating? Rise to your feet.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Satlong-King or to partner with us, please visit www.agmionline.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 006-530-2610 or 0703-699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.